China was an eye opener for me. And I feel like some of my teammates too, because we went with a really young team and played against a very experienced China team, a very big team. So it was an eye opener, definitely, and a great experience for me just to learn the physicality and just, it's a different play style playing in the international level. And then I got to use that experience into window two, where I got an opportunity to play again when we were in Okinawa, and we beat Chinese Taipei and then lost to Australia. But yeah, all those experiences are just, I feel like, been great for me, and just a great learning experience, and just yeah, overall a great experience for me moving forward.
Hello, good evening, everyone. This is Japan Forward Sports Talk Podcast. We're using Twitter Spaces for a worldwide audience, and we have a special guest tonight, Luke Evans, power forward of the Fighting Eagles Nagoya, a B-League second division team in Japan pro basketball. Luke, thank you for joining us tonight, and congratulations on your team reaching the B2 finals.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on, and yeah, thanks again.
So can you tell us a little bit about your routine this week in the build-up to the playoff finals, the best of three games against Sendai 89ers, Friday, Saturday, and potentially Sunday? Have you guys been practicing normally, like a normal, regular way?
Yeah, so once the playoffs started, we changed up practice a little bit and more like fine-tuning things and getting ready for the specific opponent that we're going to play that week. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, our first two series, we've been able to win in two games, so we've got a little bit of extra rest. And then we practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and to get ready for the game on Friday.
You guys had a 26-4 record, excuse me, at home in the regular season. Talk a little bit about the atmosphere at the home gym in Nagoya and just the fans' support and how that energizes your team.
Yeah, I mean, being at home is always the best, right? I mean, not having to travel and then just getting to be on your routine and then get into your home gym and then having all the fans that are there to support you and pick you up. So it's been a huge boost for us all season, as you can see with our home record.
This season, Luke, you've averaged, let me read it out for the listeners here. You've averaged 12.8 points, 5.9 rebounds, and 1.8 assists. In 38 games that you played personally, you made 33 starts. How do you feel you've done contributing to the team's success this year?
I mean, I feel like I've done a good job. I mean, to me, like, the most important is how the team is doing. So if the team is doing good, then I feel personally I've been doing my job and my teammates have been doing their job. And we finished the season 42-8. So I feel like that kind of speaks for itself.
Yeah, you know, the record is certainly impressive. But another stat that is worth pointing out is the fact that the Fighting Eagles have not lost back-to-back games all season. So you guys have been incredibly consistent. And after a loss, you bounced back every time to get a win.
Yeah, that's one of the things the coaching staff has harped on this year is never losing two in a row, because once you get to the playoffs, you can't lose two in a row. Otherwise, your season's over with. So it's been a big focus of ours. If we do happen to lose a game, that we'd be able to bounce back and not lose two in a row.
Let's talk briefly about what you believe are the team's strengths and the way the team has molded together. I mention that because 8 of the 12 players on the roster when the season began were new players to the Fighting Eagles. Mm-hmm. So the coaching staff and the front office essentially rebuilt the team from last season to this season. But all the 12 players on the team, 11 of them were in one of the B League's divisions last year. Mm-hmm. So the one newcomer out of the B League is former Gonzaga player Jeremy Jones, who was playing elsewhere last year.
That's right. Yeah, we started the season with pretty much a new team, like you said. But also, like you said, all the players except for Jeremy has played in Japan before. And yeah, I could go down the list of like players we brought in. We brought in a lot of talent this year, and I guess I could just go down the list. We brought in Sasa from B1 Nagoya Diamond Dolphins, and he's been a great piece to for us this year. Kaito, we brought in. He's been a B2 assist leader multiple years. Brian and Rhea come from Gumo, just won a championship last year, so they bring championship experience. Soma was, I think, B2 leading 3-point percentage last season. Scooty was the leading scorer in B2 last season. And then, Jeremy is coming from a big-time university and played at a high level last year and shot in the high, I think, in the 40% from the three. So we put a lot of talent. And since we've all been here working together, and Coach, I think Coach has done a good job of getting us on the same page and obviously having the great season that we've had so far.
You were playing last season for the Veltex Shizuoka in the B3. Mm-hmm. And you also had a 4-game stint with Shimane in B1 last year. Mm-hmm. What was the decision that led you to sign with Nagoya? How did that go?
Obviously, my agent came to me with the deal, and I had to sit down and talk with them. And they told me how they were building the team and like the expectations that they had for this coming year. It sounded mm-hmm. like something that I fit into well and was a good opportunity. And that's kind of how that went.
Okay. Can you briefly summarize what the team's expectations were when they spoke to you?
I mean, the team, and I feel like all of us has kind of been on the same page since we started this, of firstly winning B2 and then getting promoted and going up to B1 was the ultimate goals for this year. So we were the regular season champs. We got promoted to B1. So now we still have that one goal left, and that hopefully to win it this weekend.
You know, last season, the Fighting Eagles were pretty solid, winners of 36 games, and they lost 22, but they've been more consistent this year, like we spoke about. And I think the roster is really built to win now.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's shift back a little bit. Let's think back to quite a bit of years before you came to Japan. And you grew up in Oceanside, California, right? And went to high school at El Camino and went to college at California Baptist University. Tell listeners a little bit about your athletic journey and your success as a high school and college student athlete, please.
Yeah, like you said, I'm from Oceanside, California. I went to El Camino High School. I think a 3-year starter on the varsity team. My senior year, we actually won the regionals, so the CIF championship my senior year. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I got offered and I went to California Baptist University, where I played there all 4 years before turning pro.
How tough was that experience? How important, you know, a Division I university, a Western Athletic Conference school, you were tested every week in practice and, you know, every game. How did that help build you to become a pro player?
Yeah, actually, when I first went, there were Division II schools, so they've mm-hmm. moved up to Division I. But yeah, the experience of college basketball in the States is eye-opening for sure, because you go from the big fish in high school to, you know, kind of doing what you want, having good stats, playing big minutes, and then you go into college and you're the young guy again. So you kind of have to start over and build your way back up. And yeah, college is tough. Like, you're not playing against kids anymore. You're starting to play against more grown men. So yeah, that's definitely building blocks for going pro, I think.
Before you went to before you traveled to Japan in 2014 to join Kagoshima, were you playing elsewhere at the pro level?
Yeah, my actual first contract out of college, I went to Colombia in South America for 2 months, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that was my first experience playing pro.
That was in 2013 or 2014?
2013. After okay. that is when I went to Kagoshima, and I think Kagoshima was 2014.
Yeah, I see that part listed on your bio. How did it go in Colombia? How did you feel personally living there and just maybe the environment surrounding the team?
Yeah, I went there and it was... So in Colombia, the seasons are only 3 months long. So I went there a little bit into the season. I was on a good team, but yeah, it was definitely a culture shock and just a new experience for me personally. Colombia is not like the States and not like Japan. So it's more of a rugged area, and you got to be careful and watch what you're doing at all times because, yeah, you don't want to be caught in the wrong areas of and just with the wrong people.
How did you perform? How was your day-to-day game success there? Were you happy with it?
Yeah, I think I was happy with it. I think it was also eye-opening. Playing pro from college was just a lot different for me. Just in the style of play, the physicality, and just when you go pro, it's a little bit different when you're the import player because you're looked at as like the person that's supposed to take over the game and lead the team to victory. And when you're fresh out of college, I didn't feel like I was personally ready for that moment at that time, but I still feel like I contributed to the team and helped the team win a lot of games.
Did you put together a highlights package or maybe a family member or an agent from your time in Colombia? And if so, did that help you, you know, attract offers from Japan the next year?
I think I had some game film that was sent out, but how I got to Japan was I was playing in the summer pro league in LA, and an agent reached out to me and said, I have a team that's looking for a player like you. And I got to talk with them and we agreed on a contract, and that's how I first came to Japan.
Okay. Put yourself in the shoes of a broadcast analyst for a minute. Okay. And suppose your job is to describe Luke Evans to the listeners, like in the game preview, what would you want them to know? What kind of descriptions, what kind of key attributes of your playing style are important?
That's interesting. I'm not one that really likes to talk about myself, but I think my play style is kind of like an all-around player. I don't believe I do anything really great, but I feel like I do a lot of things good. And I feel like with that package, like I can help the team win in a lot of different ways. And that's kind of how I feel like my role is on this team. It's kind of different based on matchups and who we're playing, but I could do a lot of things just to help the team achieve the ultimate goal, which is winning the game.
Okay. It sounds like without even watching film, if I'm just a listener to hearing that, it sounds like you're saying you try to be a consistent all around player and really be a team player who fills a role of, you know, doing a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a fair answer. Thank you. you've had a nice career in Japan. This is now, if I counted correctly, the Fighting Eagles are now your ninth team, if I saw the list correctly and just added up behind my limited math skills.
Yeah, I think you're right. My ninth team. I believe this is my eighth season in Japan.
Yeah.
My gosh, right. It's been a long time.
So you've had a chance to see a lot of the country. You lived in different parts of the country, from the Tokyo area to the countryside up in Tohoku. You live down in Shizuoka. You're in Nagoya now. You've been in Shimane. You've been, in the Saitama area, Kanazawa, in Ishikawa Prefecture. Mm-hmm. What are some things you really like about Japan as a traveler and as a, just someone who's comfortable with the culture?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to ask more questions about this later on, but I feel like I've been in Japan my whole adult life. So Japan is kind of like my home now, is how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. So I've become very comfortable with being here, and it just feels like home. And like you said, I've lived in a lot of different places, and each one of those places has just like grown my love for the country and my respect, and this overall just my appreciation for being here.
Okay. Do you have a favorite city, a favorite sightseeing place, a favorite food?
I say I'm most comfortable in Tokyo. I spent probably 3 or 4 of my years there, just being able to get around on trains and all traveling all around. Also, just the wide variety of food. You can pretty much get anything you want when you're in Tokyo. So that's probably my favorite city. Favorite food. I've fallen in love with a lot of different foods in Japan.
You can name a few. That's okay.
I'll go okonomiyaki, I think, is one of my favorite foods in Japan.
Good choice. It's delicious.
But I mean, obviously sushi and ramen and udon, all those things, they're all very good. So it's hard to pick. But yeah, that's just an uncommon answer. I think I'll pick okonomiyaki.
Okay. Any favorite sightseeing locations?
No. As crazy as it sounds, as long as I've been here, when you're traveling with basketball, it's kind of hard to do sightseeing things. I have favorite places. I really liked when I was in Okinawa with the national team. I thought it was beautiful out there.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that. Okay, well, let me switch topics here for a few minutes. This season, the Fighting Eagles have played the Sendai 89ers 4 times, and you've won 3 of those games. And of course, you're playing them in a best of 3 series this coming weekend. What are your impressions of the 89ers this season, and what do you think are some keys to play well against them again?
Yeah, I think if you look at the matchup on paper, I think we're the number 1 defensive rated team and they're the number 2 defensive rated team. So I think it's going to be a defensive battle. We played them 4 times, whereas 3-1, but they've been tough games. So I feel like, I don't know, it's going to come down to like the little things to win the game and being solid on defense, getting stops.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys pretty healthy right now at this stage of the season?
We've dealt with a lot of injuries this year, actually, but thankfully we've had a deep team to be able to keep playing. But as of right now, pretty much everyone is healthy as you can be after playing for 9 months, 10 months.
Okay. On your coaching staff, you have an assistant from a former American college player, Calvin Oldham, mm-hmm. who played professionally and coached professionally overseas. Mm-hmm. How helpful is that to working with the Japanese coaching staff and maybe helping mentor the style of play a bit, with maybe an American style a little bit, and also his work with Coach Taizo Kawabe?
Yeah, I think Coach Calvin has been a big help to us. He obviously can relate with us professional players as well as the coaching staff, having done both. So I think the best thing he does for us is he'll just give little bits of advice every now and then, at least for myself, like in the game, he might mm-hmm. see something that I'm not seeing. And he'll come up to me after or before a timeout and say, "Hey, look at this. You could do this," like those type of things that are really helpful in the middle of a game when you're in the heat of the moment. Mm-hmm. And then, so speaking with that, I'm sure he's done the same thing with the coaching staff. So I'm sure they're grateful to have him here.
Can you think of an example of something that he might have said to you earlier this season, either like in a practice or in a timeout?
I think even just going into the last game, I think, what did he say to me in the last game? And then there's one point in one play, he said, look for your drive because they're playing you a certain way. And, mm-hmm. and I was able to get to the basket and get a layup. So just stuff like that has happened throughout the season.
Okay. Thanks a lot. What are your general impressions of Coach Kawabe and the way he's run the team this season? What do you feel are his strengths and just his general style? If you could explain that to listeners.
I think he's a hard worker first and foremost. Put a lot of hours in the gym and he's always in there. So mm-hmm. that's one of the big things. And then, I mean, more than anything is just, he's putting this team in position to win. And he's done a great job of that. You can't argue with the record of 42-8. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I want you to discuss a little bit the process that led to you playing for the national team and how you were invited, perhaps, how you were selected and what you went through to, you know, tryouts and direct contact with the Japan Basketball Association.
Yeah, so last summer after the Olympics, I got a message from the coach asking if I wanted to play in the Asia Cup. Mm-hmm. And I was really excited for that opportunity. And then the Asia Cup actually ended up getting canceled because of COVID or postponed because of COVID. And then it was window one. And my team told me that I was selected on I can't remember how many people were selected, 50 something people roster.
Yeah.
And I had a chance to talk to Coach Ovas and, he was excited to have me there and just told me about the opportunity and if I could come there and I could prove myself and maybe have a chance at playing. So, I went there, did everything I could and actually made the team for window one to play against China. And it was just, I think, a huge opportunity for myself and just a great honor to get to put the Japan jersey on and play for the country.
During the tryouts to be selected for the roster, you know, to be on the window one final 12 players for those two games, how tough was the competition and then the individual workouts that Coach Hovas set up?
Yeah. Coaches' practices are not easy. I mean, as you would expect for the national team, you're playing at the highest level and you're trying to represent the country. So I don't think they should be easy. We'd have two-a-days and then also weights. So yeah, they were tough. The camp was tough for sure.
Were you pleasantly surprised or did you sort of expect that the workouts you had put you in position to make the national team for those games?
Well, I was actually the only naturalized player that showed up to that Windows tryout. So it was kind of, yeah, that's the opportunity that I got to play with the team.
Do you feel that those games against China, I wish I had the stats in front of me, but I'm sorry I do not. I forgot to do that. Do you feel that those games put you in position to maybe play later this year with the national team again?
Yeah, China was an eye-opener for me. And I feel like some of my teammates too, because we went with a really young team and played against a very experienced China team, a very big team. So it was an eye-opener, definitely, and a great experience for me just to learn the physicality, and just it's a different play style playing in the international level. And then I got to use that experience into window two, where I got an opportunity to play again when we were in Okinawa and we beat Chinese Taipei and then lost to Australia. But yeah, all those experiences are just, I feel like, been great for me and just a great learning experience and just overall a great experience for me moving forward.
Before I forget, I wanted to ask you if Jeremy Jones has any fun stories he shared with the Nagoya teammates about when he played at Gonzaga with Rui Hachimura.
I don't know. I know Jeremy and Rui are close and they're still good friends to this day. But yeah, I wouldn't feel comfortable saying, yeah, I haven't heard much of stories, but that's between them and for them to tell, not for me.
Okay. That's understandable. Okay. So you're in your early 30s now. And would you like to play for another 10 years? Have you thought about your career in terms of what you'd like to do, the time span?
Time span wise, I mean, obviously I love the game and I love playing so as long as I could, but obviously mm-hmm. there's different factors that go into that on how my body holds up and if it's worth it, my family situation at the time. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't have a set number in my head, but
okay.
Yeah, I mean, I have love for the game, and I don't plan on stopping playing anytime soon.
A lot of players set a goal of playing until they're 40 or into their 40s. So you just turned 31 in March. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to point that out for listeners. Going back a couple years, I had heard that you had been in the process of becoming a naturalized Japanese player, citizen, I should say. Mm-hmm. And when did the thought process begin? How did it begin? And how long did it take, Luke?
I would say maybe 3 or 4 years into being in Japan is when that thought crossed my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously from there, you know, you have to start working towards that if that's something that you want. So that's when I think around my fourth year in Japan is when I started taking classes to learn Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
And it started from going a couple times a week to going up to 4 times a week. It's just overall just trying to learn the language. And then the overall process to become naturalized, I think also took another 2.5 years to actually from start to finish.
Was there a lot of visits to local government offices or a lot of paperwork that had to be followed up on?
Oh yeah. There's, you have like a book of paperwork. It feels like of all types of information that the government needs. And yeah, lots of visits to the city office.
Can you explain briefly what you feel are the benefits to being listed as a naturalized player, how that might help your team and help you personally in searching for, you know, employment as a pro basketball player.
I can speak from this season. I mean, with having me as count as a naturalized player, then we have technically four Americans on the floor or on the court on our bench, right? Or three. And then we could have a big three and we could play with essentially three Americans. So that's a huge advantage. And then, like you said, as far as employment for myself, I think that just extends my career and gives me a lot more opportunities.
Did you hear about the possibility of the pros of the benefits of being a naturalized player from other players, other coaches, agents? Like, what did you think about before you decided? Maybe you heard things, right, that sort of sold you on the idea.
Yeah, obviously you see the guys before you that have done it and the careers that they've had and just the opportunities that they have that entice you to do these things. But I think for me, like, the number one thing was just the love for being in Japan and just for Japan feeling more like home than home feels like home to me. So that was like the main thing that went into making that decision.
Okay. Well, it's a good thing that you're comfortable and you feel, you know, a good fit for your team. It sounds like overall it's been a very positive experience.
Yeah, for sure.
When you think about the last decade or so in Japan, how do you summarize the way the league and the sport has grown and evolved from the BJ League, NBL, JBL era to the current era of only the B League with the structure of first, second, and third divisions? Does it seem like the culture is growing in the right direction?
Oh, definitely. I think from speaking from experience of how much basketball has grown over the last, I would say even the last 5 years since B League started, has been tremendous. I think the fan support and notoriety of the game has just been growing every single year. Mm-hmm. And even with all the problems that COVID has brought with not allowing fans in the gym to limited numbers, like, I just think the sport has been growing and going in the right direction.
How would you characterize the competition level? Has that also gotten better?
Yeah, I believe so. I think, I mean, if you look in B1 and you see how many of these ex-NBA guys or high level, EuroLeague guys have came over to Japan and start playing. And I mean, that just speaks volumes to how high the level has gotten in Japan.
How much of a difference is there between B1 and B2 in terms of competition level?
I mean, obviously there is a difference. B1 is the highest level. But I feel like there's B2, a lot of B2 teams that are very high level as well. Especially with the last couple of years of the opportunities to move up to B1. I think a lot of teams have brought a lot of money and great players to B2 to try to do to move up to B1.
Mm-hmm. For the Fighting Eagles to be successful, you know, in B1, it is a big adjustment from B2 to B1. What are some keys to being consistent, in your opinion, in the move up next year?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a huge step up, because I think if whatever team moves up, if they go 500 in the next year, it'll be the best season that anyone's ever done. Because I think this year was Guma. They've had the best season that's from anyone that's ever moved up. So it's a big jump. But I think for Nagoya to be successful next year, it's going to depend on what they do with the team. And I think keeping the team together and keeping chemistry will be a great way to try to move forward and fight and be one together.
Looking just now at the overall standings of B1, I believe you're correct in pointing out about Guma being the highest, best record the year after the promotion. And the Crane Thunders went 25-30 this season. So pretty close to .500. Mm-hmm. And I think injuries could have affected that possibility of reaching 500.
Yeah, definitely. I think they also had a few games get canceled because of COVID that maybe they could have won as well. So, yeah, I think they're close, if not better than a 500 team.
Okay. I'd like to ask just a couple more really short questions, and then we'll wrap up for tonight's program, okay?
Sounds good.
Who is your favorite basketball player of all time, in terms of just you being a fan of the game?
I think Kobe Bryant.
Okay. Why so?
I think his mentality and how he approached the game is maybe second to none. Him and Jordan kind of have that same mentality, but yeah, that, I just a lot of respect for the work that he put in to be as great as he was.
Okay. Do you have a favorite current player in the NBA?
I think my favorite current player is Luka Doncic.
What do you like about his game? Maybe besides his name being close to yours.
I just love how he controls the game. And he's just might not be the fastest or most athletic, but he just his knowledge and his footwork and all his abilities for the game. Sorry, someone just came to my door.
No problem.
But yeah.
What has been your favorite aspect of this season? Has there been a favorite game or a moment with your teammates?
For the B-League season would definitely be, I think, just the last game against Kumamoto, being able to win that and go to the championship and get the promotion to B1.
Must have been a great feeling.
Yeah. Hopefully in a couple of days I'll have a new number one moment from the season.
Well, Luke Evans, thank you for joining us on Sports Talk tonight. Listeners, please check out JapanForward.com and our sister website, Sports Look.
All right, I appreciate it.